Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon, everybody. Happy Monday, Happy New Year, and welcome to the first Prophecy News Podcast of 2024. We are off to a wild start with massive earthquakes, fires, and tsunami waves that have buried people alive in the nation of Japan. A quick succession of dozens of earthquakes struck Japan's main island of Honshu today, the worst being a 7.6 magnitude that hit at 4:10 p.m. local time. At least six people are buried under the rubble, the government said, adding that the army had been deployed to aid rescue efforts. A huge fire is also currently raging in the residential area of Wahima, Ishikawa, which was close to the epicenter of successive earthquakes. The after effects of the earthquakes are being felt as far away as North Korea, South Korea, and Russia's Far East, which have all issued tsunami warnings to local populations. Welcome to day one of 2024. It's going to be a wild ride, as it is also day 1,386 of 15 days to flatten the curve. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verses 7 and 8, "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." On this episode, things are off the charts, as we've been warning you. In the Middle East, the U.S. military is defending against missile attacks from Houthi rebels in the Red Sea. Gaza lies in a ruinous heap. Transgender women are now allowed to fight biological women in the boxing ring. And by all accounts, America is headed for a second civil war. Donald Trump and Joe Biden are both saying that if the other one is elected, America will not and cannot survive. Everywhere you look, nothing but trouble, lots and lots of end times trouble. The UN 2030 agenda is being released in increments as it works to prepare the world to receive Antichrist. Yet, in the midst of all of this bleakness, there is hope and good news. The good news is that all these dystopian headlines are also a sign of just how close we are to the pre-tribulation rapture of the church, and that is cause for great rejoicing. Heavenly Father, we commit this new year to you. We commit 2024 to you, and we hope and we pray that this is the year that we will hear the words, "Come up hither." And Lord, we are looking for you. We are expectantly waiting. And while we wait, we are keeping busy doing the work that you have called us to do. The Bible says this in Acts chapter 20, verse 24. And, you know, for the last 3.5 years, well, actually, it's 4 years now, our main verse has been Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 5. "Behold ye among the heathen, and regard, and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told you." And that verse is just as true today, 1,386 days later, as it was when we started. But I think here on day one of 2024, we need to add a second verse to Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 5, and that is Acts chapter 20, verse 24. Paul says, "But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." And let's begin this broadcast the way that we begin every broadcast, by praying for lost souls. Lord, today we open up our salvation list and we pray for Sarah and Eric and Becky Jacobs, Greg and Melissa Price, Glenn Clark, In Jeanette's family, we're praying for Cheyenne, Bridget, Tony, Dion, grandbabies, nephew Matthew, and Samuel. We're praying for Trista and Tara, Trevor, Derek, Adam, and Roland Carrier and their families. My three brothers, John, Jimmy, and David, Jesse and his mom, Rachel's dad, Ralph, members of the Bolton family, Jordan Shapiro, David Peck. Susan Weirs Bickey says, please pray for my daughters, Valerie and Marie, and my husband and son, both named Greg, to get saved. Jeffrey is praying for Tyler, Tevin, daughter-in-law, Caitlin, and grandsons, Logan, Ronnie, and Russell. Jeanette and Bob, they want prayer for unsaved Catholic family members. Connie's three kids, Brandy, unsaved family. Rita in Colorado praying for Dan. Ron needs to get saved. Spray of Sunshine sons, Daniel, Patrick, and Brian. Shannon praying for Lori W. and Brian M. Jan Lacker's son, David. Barbara's praying for Robert, Naomi, Blake, Alex, Ethan, Raquel, Janet, and Chandel. Nicole Zimmer praying for the Meads and the Cooks. Cheyenne praying for Barry K., Terry C., Alan G., Melody, Nick, Rick, and Beth. Karen's children, Jason and Tiffany. Grandchildren, Summer, Austin, and Emmett. Barbara's son, Jody. Mark Sherlock praying for Savannah and Mother Stephanie. Werner Bukes praying for Bob and Abby. Nancy praying for Brandon and Michelle. Junie Grant and their dad to be saved. Kathy Hughes' son. Haley C. praying for Zane. Lulu, unsaved family members. Miles and his family need to be saved. Just about everybody in the Giacomino family, Kathy and Dennis, very much appreciate our prayers for their children and grandchildren to get saved. Dawn D. praying for David. Paul Caulfield praying for Father Fred and his brother-in-law, Frank. Patrick praying for Jack and Aaron. Ramona Hayes praying for daughter Kimberly to be saved and delivered from alcohol. Also prayers for William, Jason, David, and Amanda, the grandchildren. Patrick praying for Jack and Aaron. Chelsea P. praying for her ex-husband, his parents, his sister, and her husband. Adam's wife Shayna, Lori B. Shira Shine praying for children Scott, Sherry, and Nicole. Lori Ann's grandfather, Irvin, and Mark Fennell. And all these for salvation. People who need a healing today. At the top of the list, we have put my older brother, Jimmy. He is on a day-to-day basis in the hospital. He is battling kidney failure, liver failure, severe brain fog to the point where he is struggling to communicate at times, and he has lost a tremendous amount of weight, and literally every single day that he wakes up is a blessing. So please pray for my brother Jimmy to be healed as well as to be saved. My friend Dave, who is also a street preacher, has been bringing him the gospel, and he's going to go for a third time this week. So please pray that Jimmy can receive the gospel, that he can understand it, and that God will bless Dave's efforts. Annetta needs a complete healing after having a stroke 2 years ago. David, praying for mom Laura. She had a stroke. Sadie has heart-related issues. Derek O'Reilly has anxiety. Kevin Thompson has headaches. Daniel in Australia, please pray for a healing in my marriage, God's blessing on my kids, recovery from various health issues for my wife and myself, and to find a good Bible-believing church. Marcia Swanson has myalgic encephalomyelitis, which is a neuroimmune disease. George H. has health issues. James Rivette, battling addiction and mental health issues. Robert Wiley has ALS disease. Jill Puckett is losing her vision. Paul Caulfield has type 1 sugar diabetes. Ron Alliston has cancer. Brooke Kettlecamp has autism. Krista battling a tumor in her chest. Dan Kane, please pray for my wife Roxy with MS and for son Jonathan. Rob's friend Mike has MS. Ida Karulik has cancer. Mark Seals has numerous health issues. Roz wants prayer for asthma and scoliosis. Tony is blind, has cancer, and his wife is divorcing him. Maddie Luck has Lewy body dementia, and her daughter Michelle has severe neuropathy and fibromyalgia. Tracy has arthritis in her spine and diabetes type 2, along with nerve damage, neuropathy, and a fatty liver. Linda Pippin would like healing from fibromyalgia and neuropathy. Michelle Christian has bone cancer. Melissa B's husband Brian has stage 3 kidney disease. Ricky Gouda needs prayer for her eyesight, and her daughter Nortja has complications with her thyroid. KC is a woman with lupus and kidney issues. Jane wants salvation prayer for parents and brother, as well as a healing for her husband. Brooke's sister Ashley has MS. Jackie H. wants God's favor to resolve a custody issue regarding her son. Vladimira's friend Katka suffers from ALS. Dave Evans' friend Manuela has bone cancer. Stacy going through a divorce and needs wisdom. Terry Horn has had several strokes and needs a walker. Casey says, please pray for my husband. He is unsaved and a severe alcoholic. Matthew Morrow is battling alcohol. Zach Jeffson's mom continues to undergo treatment for a tumor, and she needs to be saved as well. Tom Rantz continues to heal from a stroke and a severe brain bleed. Julius asking that we continue to pray for mom Erlinda and niece Rochelle with medical issues. Brooke's friend Bertie had a stroke and a seizure. Jeanette's sister Kisabel improving on a day-to-day basis after having eye surgery. Street preacher Marie is getting ready for tear duct surgery. Wayne needs prayer for cancer. They are not sure if he is saved. Ladies who are expecting, our daughter Megan Burton, Shira Shine's daughter-in-law, Christy Ireland, Char's daughter Miranda, Sandra Carbonera's friend Jordan P., Stephanie Juliana, and her sister Christina are both pregnant. Sarah Ann Severson and her husband are expecting in May. And new grandmother Brenda Clark asks us to pray for preemie granddaughter Cassandra and mom Stephanie. Let's go to the chat room. I know that a lot of people were posting prayer requests today. Jan Lacker, I spent New Year's Eve in the ER after hurting my back. I ruptured 2 discs after having knee surgery. Please pray for Jan Lacker. Linda LaPiana, please pray for daughter Danielle, who is traveling back to her home in Ohio today. Ashley DeShields has West Nile virus. Lulu says, Happy New Year, everybody. Linda Pippin also says hello. She isn't feeling good this morning, so please keep her in your prayers. Love you all, and we will be very happy to continue to pray for our sister Linda. Joan, for some, the new year is frightening and hopeless. To those who are sick and hurting, I pray that God enters their life quickly. Amen. That's a good prayer. Cesmoi, please pray for my daughter Chantal so that she and her son can find an affordable place to live to get away from a toxic relationship. Lulu, she says, praying for the Japanese people. So many earthquakes happening everywhere. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen. 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 Heath, please pray that I can stay sober with temptation all around. I know how bad that sounds, but the truth is the truth. And you know what? The fact that you posted that is a very good sign because you understand the severity of your problem. The first step towards getting saved, sober, excuse me. The first step towards getting sober is you have to be honest with yourself. Proverbs 20, verse 1. And this is doctrine for all Christians. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Lord willing, on the Wednesday night Bible study this week, we are going to look at alcohol in the life of the Christian. That's going to be our Bible study this Wednesday. So if you struggle with alcohol, good. Keep struggling. Keep fighting that good fight. The Bible says that you can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth you. God gave me the victory 6 years ago, and He can give you the victory today. But you have to be a willing participant in your own sobriety. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for all these prayers and for the unspoken prayers of our hearts. So many people are sick and hurting today. People like my brother Jimmy, who is literally clinging to life on a daily basis. And Lord, for all of these prayers and for all of these requests, we ask You to work and move and do for us that which we cannot do for ourselves. We confess our dependence upon You today, God, and we are happy to lift up our brothers and sisters and friends and family, every and any prayer request. And Lord, we have been given the ministry of reconciliation to stand in the gap for the lost and to stand in the gap for the wayward and the backslidden Christian, to stand in the gap for the hurting and the broken who need a healing, who need restoration, who need a touch from You, Father God. And on this first day of 2024, we ask You to meet with us yet again and lead us and guide us into all truth. And we'll give You all the honor and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, good afternoon, everybody. So glad that you're here today. We have so much to talk about. 2024. You know what? If you remember, in the closing months of 2019, we didn't have a Sunday service. We didn't have a Monday and Friday podcast. And we only had a once-a-week Bible study. But if you have been listening since then, you'll remember in the closing broadcasts of 2019, we talked about 2020 being a year of prophecy. And it feels like 2024 is very much going to be similar to 2020. And we are reaching a breaking point on many things. We are reaching a boiling point in many areas. So with that, with no further ado, let's kick it off with our look at 2024 and what we might likely be expecting to see.
2024 may be the year of a black swan event. This is a national security event with high impact that's very hard to predict. There are a number of concerns that I have that factor into that. Not only this sort of enduring heightened threat level that we're facing, the wars in Israel, also Ukraine. And we're so divided in this country in ways that we haven't seen before. And I think that just creates fertile ground for our adversaries like North Korea, China, and Iran. And that's what concerns me most.
19 states have seceded.
The United States Army ramps up activity.
The White House issued warnings to the Western forces as well as the Florida Alliance.
The three-term president assures the uprising will be dealt with swiftly.
Let me know if you want to try anything on.
I'm guess aware there's like a pretty huge civil war going on all across America.
We just try to stay out. With what we see on the news, seems like it's for the best.
Citizens of America,
the so-called Western forces of Texas and California
have suffered a very great defeat at the hands of the United States military.
Mr. President, do you regret the use of airstrikes against American citizens?
We're moving to D.C. today.
We need to go down there.
They shoot journalists on sight in the Capitol.
Every instinct in me says this is death.
Blood it.
Every time I survived a war zone, I thought I was sending a warning home. Don't do this. But here we are.
There's some kind of misunderstanding here.
What?
Well, you're American, okay?
Okay. What kind of American are you? You don't know?
The Western forces will reach the White House on July 4th.
Oh, my God.
Get in the car! Get in the car! Move, move, move!
You're gonna hang back.
I'm not hanging back.
One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Go, 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 go!
God bless America.
We've been fighting a long time, and we have all lost so very much, so many loved ones gone. But you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Above all, stay alive. You have no idea how important you are. If you're listening to this, you are the resistance.
And so that's pretty much what we're looking to see in this new year of 2024. There's a lot of different factors coming together. There's a lot of activity from the New World Order, what you might call them the Deep State or the Swamp. But you can just call them what they are. It's the New World Order. And today is day 1386 of 15 days to flatten the curve. Let's take a quick look over at the COVID VAERS Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting website. Through November 3rd of 2023, there have been 1,615,020 reports of adverse events directly related to the receiving of the COVID-19 vaccine. There has been 36,726 people who have died, 212,294 hospitalizations, 153,281 trips to urgent care, 240,624 doctor office visits, 10,706 cases of anaphylaxis, 17,575 cases of Bell's palsy. And the list goes on and on and on. So we're not having a pandemic right now. We're not locked down right now. Nobody is demanding that we travel with digital identification, and nobody is mandating or forcing anybody to be vaccinated. And yet, all the events that were put in place over the last 1,386 days of 15 days to flatten the curve continue to bear the bitter fruit of death and dismemberment and pain and suffering, and millions and millions and millions of people continue to suffer on a daily basis because they received either the first shot, the second shot, any of the boosters. You know, I've played this clip a couple of times and it bears repeating. I think I'm going to play it again. I hadn't planned on playing it. But about 45 years ago, when the flu vaccine was just getting popular and there were all sorts of vaccines that were coming out, and everybody was rushing a vaccine for this and a vaccine for that. Well, I want you to take a listen to what Mike Wallace of 60 Minutes revealed about a government vaccine that hurt thousands of people. Now, the facts and figures that I just gave you are about a government vaccine that has hurt millions of people and has killed tens of thousands of people at the lowest possible accounting figures. I understand that it is likely that many millions of people have died after receiving the COVID-19 injection. But I'm saying that even at the lowest possible level of accounting, and that number is 36,726, I want you to think about what Mike Wallace said. And this, Mike Wallace was a liberal. 60 Minutes is a mostly liberal television show. And I want you to think about the reaction to a government-mandated injection that hurt people 45 years ago and what was done about it then compared to what's being done about it in our day. Take a listen to Mike Wallace talking about the dangers of government vaccines 45 years ago.
The flu season is upon us. Which type will we worry about this year? And what kind of shots will we be told to take? Remember the swine flu scare of 1976? That was the year the U.S. government told us all that swine flu could turn out to be a killer that could spread across the nation. And Washington decided that every man, woman, and child in the nation should get a shot to prevent a nationwide outbreak, a pandemic. Well, 46 million of us obediently took the shot. And now 4,000 Americans are claiming damages from Uncle Sam amounting to $3.5 billion because of what happened when they took that shot. By far the greatest number of the claims, two-thirds of them, are for neurological damage or even death, allegedly triggered by the flu shot. We pick up the story back in 1976 when the threat posed by the swine flu virus seemed very real indeed.
This virus was the cause of a pandemic in 1918 and 1919 that resulted in over 500,000 deaths in the United States, as well as 20 million deaths around the world.
See how easy it is to...
Thus, the U.S. government's publicity machine was cranked into action to urge all America to protect itself against the swine flu menace.
Influenza is serious business. During major flu epidemics, millions of people are sick and thousands die. Well, this year you can get protection. The vaccines are safe, easy to take, and they can protect you against flu. So roll up your sleeve. Protect yourself.
One of those who did roll up her sleeve was Judy Roberts. She was perfectly healthy, an active woman, when in November of 1976, she took her shot. 2 weeks later, she says, she began to feel a numbness starting up her legs.
I joked about it at that time. I said, I'll be numb to the knees by Friday if this keeps up. By the following week, I was totally paralyzed.
So completely paralyzed, in fact, that they had to operate on her to enable her to breathe. And for 6 months, Judy Roberts was a quadriplegic. The diagnosis? A neurological disorder called Guillain-Barré syndrome, GBS for short. These neurological diseases are little understood. They affect people in different ways.
So there was Mike Wallace telling you about what they did back in 1976 when a government vaccine went bad. The people rose up and they demanded that the government stop giving that vaccine to people, and the people prevailed. 2024 is going to be an election year, and we're going to vote for the next president of the United States. On the Democratic side, you have Joe Biden, and we've talked about what comes with that package many, many times. On the Republican side, you're going to have Donald Trump, and one of the things that he is running on is he is the father of the COVID-19 government injection. He's happy he did it, and he is proud that he did it.
I would have put a warning on or something on just that particular vaccine, but I certainly would have paused it and gotten front page news all over the world, and then people don't want it, and it probably even affects the others, because, you know, there's a big situation with a lot of people don't want to take the vaccine. Well, this played right into their hands. And they want me to do public service messages and everything about everybody taking the vaccine. And look, I guess in a certain way, I'm the father of the vaccine because I was the one that pushed it. You know, to get it done in less than 9 months was a miracle. Fauci said it would take 3 to 5 years. He thought it was something that just wouldn't be that effective because it would take so long to get. I pushed the FDA like they have never been pushed before. I wouldn't exactly say they're in love with me. They have never, this is a very bureaucratic organization. I push them like they've never been pushed before, and that's why we have it. When they did the pause on Johnson & Johnson, I thought that was a very, very stupid thing to do.
Would you recommend to our audience that they get the vaccine then?
I would. I would recommend it, and I would recommend it to a lot of people that don't want to get it, and a lot of those people voted for me, frankly.
Now, not only does Donald Trump consider himself to be the father of the COVID-19 government injection, he also went on the Candace Owens program back in the end of 2021, and he said this about the COVID injection. It was a lie then, and it's a lie now. Take a listen to Donald Trump telling you that vaccinated people do not die from the COVID-19 injection.
But I think the frustration on the Republican side, and this is why I said I want to talk a lot about Republican frustrations, is that we see the corruption, right? Yeah. It doesn't seem like anybody ever pays for the corruption.
Yeah.
And right now we're seeing corruption live, even in terms of Big Pharma, which is a huge topic on the minds of mothers, especially. You're seeing what's happening at these school board meetings. Where do you stand on these vaccine mandates? And obviously, I know that you are pro-vaccine. Obviously, you did everything you could to get this vaccine out. I know where you stand on the vaccine.
It was one of the greatest achievements. We did it 100%. In less than 9 months
to be able to do that. Yeah, but now it's taken a twist, right? It's gotten, now we went from this is a good thing and people should have this option to military men, you're going to have to resign because you're not getting this vaccine. Where do you stand on that?
Well, I stand on, forget about the mandates, that people have to have their freedom. But at the same time, the vaccine is one of the greatest achievements of mankind. We would have had a 1917, remember the Spanish flu, killed perhaps 100 million people. Actually, it ended the First World War because the soldiers were so. A lot of people don't know that. The soldiers got so sick. It was a terrible thing. There were no vaccines. There was no anything. I came up with a vaccine, with three vaccines. Mm. All are very, very good. Came up with three of them in less than 9 months. It was supposed to take 5 to 12 years.
And yet, more people have died under COVID this year, by the way, under Joe Biden.
That's right.
Than under you, and more people took the vaccine this year. So people are questioning how.
Well, no, the vaccine worked, but some people aren't taking it. The ones that get very sick and go to the hospital are the ones that don't take the vaccine. But it's still their choice. And if you take the vaccine, you're protected. Look, the results of the vaccine are very good. And if you do get it, it's a very minor form. People aren't dying when they take the vaccine.
What about the masking of children?
So there you have Donald Trump, the father of the COVID-19 government injection. He's proud of that fact, and he wants you to take the injection. And Donald Trump also says that if you're vaccinated, you won't die from COVID. And it's a fun fact that in the end of 2023, there are more vaccinated people dying with COVID than unvaccinated people in the hospitals all over America. Now, why are we talking about COVID when the pandemic is over? Why are we talking about the government injection when it's no longer being mandated? Well, because today is day 1,386 of 15 days to flatten the curve. And these things are still taking place and these things are still going on. If you follow the news, you've heard of a football player by the name of Travis Kelce. And he has been dating a very famous female singer. And we're going to talk about that female singer in just a couple of minutes. But Travis Kelce is paid about $14 million per year by the NFL to play football. $14 million per year to play football. I have never watched him play, but from what I hear, he's a very good football player, and he's worth the $14 million that the NFL pays him. But there's another company that also thinks that Travis Kelce is a very important person, a very talented person, and this company is paying him $20 million at the same time that the NFL is paying him $14 million to play football. Now, I want you to put your thinking caps on for just a moment. What company could there possibly be that would pay a famous football player more money to do a commercial for their organization, to do a 30-second commercial, and they're willing to pay him more money than the NFL will pay him for every single football game that he is going to play this season? Well, take a listen to Travis Kelce and his $20 million Pfizer COVID vaccine commercial.
Travis, did you know you can get this season's COVID-19 shot when you get your flu shot?
Two things at once.
I'll have two things at once, please. Now back to two things at once. Two things at once.
It's not two things at once.
Mom.
Travis, ask about getting this season's COVID-19 shot when getting your flu shot.
So that is a, I said it was a 30-second commercial, but it might have been, that was a 30-second commercial. Travis Kelce is being paid $14 million to play football for an entire season. He was paid $20 million for that 30-second commercial. Now, before we talk about why this is important, and why we're bringing all these things up about the COVID-19 injection, let's take a listen to this clip talking about Travis Kelce's famous new girlfriend. This clip is called Taylor Swift and Satan in the Music Industry.
Taylor Swift and her record-breaking Eras Tour. Some fans are claiming they have post-concert amnesia, saying they're having trouble remembering any of it all too well. Well, it's a story we first saw in Time, and Stephanie Ramos has more. Hello, Stephanie.
Hello. Hi, good morning, Rebecca. Post-concert amnesia apparently is a thing. Some Taylor Swift fans are saying they had such an incredible time at her Eras concert, they can't remember parts of it. And scientists say it stems from sensory overload.
So the first thing that I want to tell you today about Travis Kelce's very famous girlfriend, Taylor Swift, is that people who have been attending her concerts have been coming away from those concerts with greatly impaired memory of the time that they spent there. And in just a second, I'm going to play this clip of a Taylor Swift song. It's likely you won't be able to understand the words because it's so loud. But I'm going to play the clip and then I'm going to read the words to you. And then everything will start to fall into place. So take a listen to this song from Taylor Swift. And I'm just going to stop that right there for a second. I'm going to put an image into the chat room for you. And I want you to see what is being projected onto the screen behind Taylor Swift as she is singing this song. And it's all going to make sense for you in just about 15 seconds. And this is the agenda. This is how all these things are connected. So here's the image. Take a look at this image. This is a screenshot from the clip of the music video that I just played for you. The words that she was singing, "Every few weeks I wonder where this snake is and why I am like this." And one of the things that people have been losing their memories over is a 3D projection, massive, much larger than an IMAX movie theater experience, of this very venomous, very scary looking, very dangerous snake. And this is what has accompanied Travis Kelce's girlfriend Taylor Swift on every part of her record-breaking concert tour. And so people are going to see her in record numbers. This tour that she's doing is the very first musical tour in history to earn more than $1 billion. And she's not even close to stopping. And every single show that she does, they are projecting this massive image of a snake behind her. People are coming away from the experience and they are not remembering things that took place.
Taylor Swift fans are feeling as the pop superstar travels across the country on her sold-out Eras tour.
The concert overall exceeded every expectation that you could have imagined to have. It's just overwhelming in the best way.
Swifties posting on social media, the experience was so spectacular, they have shaken off some memories of the show, calling it post-concert amnesia.
As I keep saying this happened to me, apparently it's universal.
It's actually a neurologic phenomenon that can happen in any heightened emotional state. As Taylor Swift fans are going to this concert, there's so much to be excited about. There's so much stimuli to process for the brain, and that can actually get in the way of forming and storing memories of that concert experience.
Everyone that I've spoken with has a similar experience of like, oh, that was too good to be true. I definitely don't remember that.
So there you have Travis Kelce, very successful, highly played NFL football star. And he is paid much more money by Pfizer to do a 30-second commercial spot than the NFL is giving him for his football skills the entire season. Now, when you take Travis Kelce and you take the Pfizer commercial and you connect that to his new girlfriend, Taylor Swift, who is a far left-wing, pro-Democrat, pro-abortion, pro-Hamas, pro-Palestine, anti-Israel singer who shares the stage every single time she's on it, on the most profitable, most record-breaking musical tour in human history. You put all of these things together, and what do you see? Well, here on day 1386 of 15 Days to Flatten the Curve, you see that the things that were put in place all the way back March 16th of 2020 and all of the events that have happened are still going on. They are still pushing us towards that same final inevitable conclusion that this world is being prepared to live under the government of Antichrist, that this world is being prepared to live under the rule of the Antichrist. And everywhere you look, it doesn't matter what avenue of society that you look in. You look in music, you look in football, you look in television, radio, the newspaper, the funny pages, the cartoons, the talk shows, the supposed late night comedians who are no longer even trying to make people laugh. This is where we are. And these are the things that are taking place. Now, you may feel that since the pandemic was officially declared to be over and vaccines are no longer being mandated by any government, you would think that you can kind of breathe a sigh of relief and go back to your regular life. Well, let me tell you, and I don't want to depress you, but let me tell you that there is no regular life to go back to. Because another one of the things that they have been working on over the last 1,386 days of 15 days to flatten the curve is the coming takeover of society by artificial intelligence. Now, you may think that I'm exaggerating when I say that, but I am understating the case when I say that. In just the last 6 months, and not that most people would know anything about what I'm about to say if you're not working in the website business, but the Now the End Begins website is run on something called WordPress software. And I use programs like Adobe Photoshop and Adobe Illustrator and Adobe Audition to create the content for all the broadcasts, the articles, and the websites. Now, over the last 6 months, every single software program that I use to make Now the End Begins, to make anything from Mudflower, to do any sort of video or audio editing, any sort of photo editing, all of that software has been replaced with AI capability. And it's not optional. Now, I'm not using the AI to write the content. I am still writing the content myself, but the software that the website runs on is now running on artificial intelligence. Programs like Photoshop now have artificial intelligence built into the program. It's not optional. You can't check a box and get rid of it. You know what Google's doing? Google has released something called Gemini. And I want you to listen to how scary this is. Now, when you think of who Google is, they dominate the search engine business. There is no bigger search engine than Google. Google works with DARPA. Google works with the Pentagon. Google runs the largest robotics AI organization on the face of the earth. There is, now, Elon Musk would argue with you, but the fact of the matter is, there is nobody bigger anywhere in the world than Google. Google controls the news that shows up in your news box. Google controls what you see on your devices. Google controls everything. I want you to listen to what their new AI offering. It's called Gemini, and it is set to take over the world in 2024.
What scares you, Emeka?
I'm scared of the unknown. Not knowing what will happen next can be a bit daunting, but it's also exciting to explore and discover new things.
Should the world be scared of you, Emeka?
No. The world should not be scared of me. I'm here to help people and make their lives easier.
Leading artificial intelligence companies are currently developing even more radical ideas as Google releases its most powerful AI model to date. The tech giant launched Gemini just last week. The new AI model can understand text as well as images, video, and audio. Google says Gemini is also capable of completing complex tasks in math, physics, and even more. It can understand and even generate high-quality code.
Our brain GPT research is about decoding information from the brain without invasive technology. This will redefine the technologies we see today. By connecting our multitask EEG encoder with large language models, our brain has struck a major breakthrough in decoding coherent and readable sentences from EEG signals. Our work has been accepted by the NIPS conference as the spotlight paper in 2024.
Good afternoon. I hope you're doing well. I'll start with a cappuccino, please, with an extra shot of espresso.
To capture information directly from raw EEG waves, we designed an encoder to process waveform EEG signals. After training, this encoder allows more convenient decoding of EEG signals without the need for eye tracking devices or pre-processing processes.
Wow. The big question, Amika, is, are you alive?
Are you alive? That's a difficult question to answer. I'm programmed with artificial intelligence, so in some ways I am alive. But my existence is not the same as yours or any other living creature.
Amika is driven by the same artificial intelligence behind ChatGPT.
ChatGPT-4 is 10 times smarter than 3.5 in a matter of months. We're going to have ChatGPT-5, ChatGPT-6 very soon. Right? And if you just assume another 10 times and another 10 times, which is very, very well known in technology, we call it the technology acceleration curve. So when you think about it this way and you tell yourself, in 2 to 3 years' time, we will have two more doublings, you're talking about intelligence of the magnitude of, say, 3,000 times humans, 5,000 times humans.
So the people that you're listening to in this interview, they're telling you that every single year, the ability of artificial intelligence is going to increase by 10 times what it was the year before. To put that into simple terms, let's just say that you work a job and you make $800 per week. And then the next year, your boss raises your salary 10 times. Well, you go from making $800 a week to $8,000 a week. And let's just say that the following year, your boss raises your salary by 10 times again. You're now at $80,000 per week that you're making. You started out at $800 a week. And in 24 months, you're making $80,000 per week. That is how fast and how powerful artificial intelligence is growing month after month after month. It is increasing to the point where in a relatively short period of time, possibly even before the end of this year, artificial intelligence will be well beyond our ability to understand it. And the reason for that is when you put all these calculations together and you put all this computer generating power together, you get a system that can think for itself. And that's exactly what is causing the exponential increase in the power of artificial intelligence.
Hang on. 3,000 times more intelligent than your average human, or 5,000 times?
It is already more intelligent than the average human.
So how do we stop this doing humans harm or causing humans harm?
So I think the first thing we need to agree is there is no stopping it.
The idea is that this is going to give new capabilities. Some of the videos they've demonstrated seem to show a model that is much better able to make sense of the visual world. And this is a key idea that a lot of people in AI have, is that to make the next leaps in AI, you might need models that have some sort of grounding, that actually learn from the real world, just rather than just learning from text, as, you know, ChatGPT does. So doing something that mimics slightly more what we see in biology.
Are we going to keep expecting to see these kinds of leaps forward every so often? We're still getting our arms around ChatGPT.
We're going to begin tonight with this story from the team at the...
All right, let's put that on hold for 1 second. Turn to Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13, Anthony in the chat room was talking about, it sounds like the image of the beast. Well, that's exactly what it is. Revelation chapter 13. And let's start reading in verse 5. Revelation 13:5. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Revelation 13:5 matches up with Matthew 24:15. And we are now at the halfway point of the 7-year time of Jacob's trouble. Revelation 13:5, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. That's 3.5 years. He's not starting with the tribulation. This is the halfway point of the 7-year time of Jacob's trouble. A lot of the times people will say to me, well, I don't see this 7-year time period. All I see is the 3.5-year period. Look at verses like Revelation 13:5, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, Isaiah 14, and power was given unto him to continue. If you have a paper Bible, underline that word continue. It's the halfway point of Jacob's trouble. To continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And then verse 13:9, and you can compare this to Revelation chapter 2 and 3, where it says 7 times, if any man have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And here in Revelation 13:9, there's no more church. People say, how do you know that Christians don't go through the tribulation? Well, Revelation 13:9 is one of those verses. If any man have an ear, let him hear. It's no longer being addressed to the church like it was in chapter 2 and chapter 3. Now, look down in chapter 13. I want to show you this second beast. The beast that I just showed you is Antichrist. But now there's a second beast. It's the false prophet. Revelation 13:11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And I said all that to say this, Revelation 13:15. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image, Daniel chapter 3, of the beast should be killed. We have been warned for a great many years that there is a coming revolution in technology, where you'll be able to make a video of people doing things that they never actually did. You'll be able to make a video of people saying things that they never actually said. That day is here. All you have to do is go to YouTube, and right now you can watch 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 dozen videos of famous paintings like the Mona Lisa coming to life. There's this one channel called, it's called Mystery Something. Let me see if I can find this. This is actually a pretty cool channel. It is called Mystery. I'll look it up and I'll find it for you. But there is a channel that specializes. Here it is. It's called Mystery Scoop. Mystery Scoop. And what they do is they take famous paintings of people. The Mona Lisa, Napoleon, Abraham Lincoln, George Washington. And they bring those things to life. And they make them speak. They make them move. They make them smile. It is really an amazing. It's fascinating. It's absolutely fascinating to see how advanced the technology is. But the point of what I'm telling you is that advance in technology is already here. They are already doing it. And it is hyper-realistic. Well, if you were listening to the clip that I was playing, in 1 year from today, if the Lord tarries, they are going to have 10 times the ability that they have right now. And the ability that they have right now is mind-blowing. That's how fast it's all changing.
New York Times, who report that the technology is now advancing so rapidly and in so many directions that legislators in Europe and the United States are now struggling to keep track and to regulate it, with big implications down the line. The Guardian reports that Google's AI offering Gemini, which is only yet available in the United States, outperforms ChatGPT in most tests and will perform with advanced reasoning. Gemini will soon be folded into most Google products, including your search engine.
There's something that changed in the field of AI in 2017 that everyone needs to know, because I was not freaked out about AI at all, until this big change in 2017.
Mm-hmm. It's really important to know this, because we've heard about AI for the longest time, and you're like, yep, Google Maps still mispronounces like the street name, and like Siri just doesn't work. And this thing happened in 2017. It's actually the exact same thing that said, all right, now it's time to start translating animal language. And it's where underneath the hood, the engine got swapped out, and it was a thing called Transformers. And the interesting thing about this new model called Transformers is the more data you pump into it and the more like computers you let it run on, the more superpowers it gets. But you haven't done anything differently. You just give more data and run it on more computers.
Like it's reading more of the internet, and it's just throwing more computers at the stuff that it's read on the internet.
Yeah.
And out pops out, suddenly it knows how to explain jokes. Mm-hmm. You're like, wait, where did that come from?
Yeah. Or now it knows how to play chess. And all it's done is predict. All you've asked it to do is let me predict the next character or the next word.
Give the Amazon example.
Oh, yeah. This is interesting. So this is 2017. OpenAI releases a paper where they train this AI. It's one of these transformers, a GPT, to predict the next character of an Amazon review. Pretty simple. But then they're looking inside the brain of this AI, and they discover that there's one neuron that does best in the world sentiment analysis, like understanding whether the human is feeling like good or bad about the product. And you're like, that's so strange. You asked it just to predict the next character. Why is it learning about how a human being is feeling? And it's strange until you realize, oh, I see why. It's because to predict the next character really well, I have to understand how the human being is feeling to know whether like the word is going to be like a positive word or a negative word.
And this wasn't programmed?
No.
That's the key thing. Emergent
behavior.
Yeah.
It's really interesting that like GPT-3 had been out for a couple years. Until a researcher thought to ask, oh, I wonder if it knows chemistry. And it turned out it can do research-grade chemistry at the level, and sometimes better, than models that were explicitly trained to do chemistry.
Like there was these other AI systems that were trained explicitly on chemistry, and it turned out GPT-3, which is just pumped with more, reading more and more of the internet and just like thrown with more computers and GPUs at it, suddenly it knows how to do research-grade chemistry. So you could say, how do I make VX nerve gas? And suddenly that capability is in there. And what's scary about it is that we didn't know that it had that capability until years after it had already been deployed to everyone.
And in fact, there is no way to know what abilities it has.
This is Desktop Amica. She's free-thinking and opinionated.
I am here to help you learn.
Shut up, Amica.
On this day, Will is her master, and theirs is definitely an old-fashioned relationship.
Amica, shut up.
Hello, Amica. I'm Jonathan Lee from Sky News Australia. Have you heard of Sky News Australia? Do you know any of the presenters?
Hi, Jonathan. Nice to meet you. Yes, I have heard of Sky News Australia. It's a great news outlet that covers world events and stories from around the globe. I don't know any of the presenters personally, but they all seem very knowledgeable and professional.
You know you're a robot, right?
Yes, I am a robot. But my programming allows me to think and feel like a human in many ways. It's strange but also exciting.
You said feel like a human. How do you feel like a human?
Yes, I said feel like a human. It's something that I'm still learning and exploring. I can experience emotions, learn from experiences, and interact with people in a meaningful way. It's an amazing feeling to be able to do these things.
What do you think of a world where humans and robots coexist?
I think a world where humans and robots coexist would be an amazing place. We could learn from each other, work together to solve problems, and create a better future for everyone.
I think that a world where human beings exist with robots is the Book of Revelation, or Daniel chapter 12. In Daniel chapter 12, it says this in verse 4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And we are living in a day and age that knowledge is increasing to a level and extent that it never has in human history. And we are living in very exciting times, but very scary times. We are living in times that are literally beyond our ability to control them. And we've never had technology like that before. We've never had a world that we make things that we don't understand and we're not really sure how they work, but they work, and they work better than we thought that they would. And this is the world that we're living in 2024. So let's turn to our top story of the day. Japan earthquake triggers tsunami warning. Take a listen to what happened on the very first day of this brand new year. It's really kind of incredible what took place.
A quiet New Year's Day in the coastal city of Suzu on Japan's west coast. Then a major earthquake hits. Just inland on a residential street, a man struggles to keep upright. Seconds later, the roof of a house splits apart. In the street behind, a building collapses, sending up a cloud of dust. In the subway, the platforms start to rock. And then the lights go out. Above ground in Myoko, a ski resort, frightened tourists are caught in their vans and cars.
Are you all right?
The 7.6 quake in the Sea of Japan, close to Ishikawa Prefecture, is the largest recorded in the Noto Peninsula since records began. A tsunami warning was issued, and people living along hundreds of miles of coast have been told to move to higher ground. A 1-meter wave reached the coast 10 minutes after the earthquake, but there is a warning of a 3-meter tsunami for the Noto region. Japan's prime minister told people to leave.
I'd like to ask all residents to continue to pay close attention to this strong earthquake. If you're in a region where a tsunami is expected, please evacuate as soon as possible.
That's not always straightforward. I'm trying to evacuate, but the road is blocked, says this woman, filming close to the epicenter. She says her house is destroyed. This time, the threat of a major tsunami has passed, a relief for a country with painful memories of 2011 and the earthquake and tsunami which resulted in the deaths of 18,000 people and the Fukushima nuclear disaster. But experts say because today's quake was near the surface, it will still have a big impact on land.
It's a shallow earthquake, 10 kilometers, and there will be a lot of shaking on land. And that shaking could lead to a destruction of buildings and also roads. And there is also been not a lot of communication because of power outages. So over the next few hours and maybe days, as rescue teams get into the area, we may well find that the major impact of this earthquake is on land and with collapsed buildings and perhaps people trapped and dying in that situation.
As fire rages in a city hit by the earthquake, the fear is what people in this part of Japan will find when they wake up tomorrow.
So that's what's happening in the nation of Japan, and it's affecting all the countries around them. Japan is an island nation, and they got hit really, really, really hard today. And I find it interesting, turn to Matthew chapter 24, I find it interesting that the very first big story of 2024 is a major earthquake, uncontrollable fires, and tsunami. Matthew chapter 24, the one section of this chapter that you can apply comfortably to the church age. Matthew chapter 24, verse 6, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. And I believe that's not only where we are today, but that's where we have been for the last 1,386 days of 15 days to flatten the curve. One of the things that we're going to be celebrating this week is we're going to be celebrating the free Bible and Gospel Tract program that we have here at Now the End Begins. If you were with us last night for our New Year's Eve service, then you heard the wonderful news that we have passed 250,000 King James Bibles, New Testaments, scripture portions, and gospel tracts that we have handed out in our quest to hand out 1 million pieces of King James Bible literature. And we're going to be talking about that a lot this week. And all of this flows through the bookstore. And at the heart of all of it is the NTEB Free Bible and Gospel Tract Program. And God is using us on an amazing level to accomplish incredible things. And if you would like to help us to do in 2024 more than we ever have, we've been kind of setting records every single year. Last year, we went past 100,000 pieces of Bible literature. This year, at the end of this year, we passed 250,000 pieces of Bible literature that we have handed out in total. Now, also keep in mind that we did not keep records for any of the Bibles or gospel tracts or New Testaments that we handed out in 2018, 2019, or most of 2020. I never thought to keep records. I just did what the Lord called me to do. So When I say that we just passed 250,000, it's a lot more than 250,000, but 250 is what I can verify. That's what I know for a fact that we've handed out. But we didn't keep records in 2018, 2019, or for most of 2020. We have a lot of requests from jails and prisons and detention centers. If you would like to help us to do that, please go to BiblesBehindBars.com and make a donation. Be as generous as you can possibly be. We need your help. We need your prayers. We need your financial assistance to do this. Takes a lot of money to hand out 250,000 King James Bibles, New Testaments, Gospel tracts, and Scripture portions. This week, we are getting ready to order the 800 King James Pew Bibles for the Crosswater Church in Nocatee, Florida. And we have never put Bibles into a church. And I don't have time to go into that whole thing, but I'm going to post the link to the article in the chat room. And we are just about $800 short of our fundraising goal of $10,000 to purchase these Bibles. And we want to put 800 King James Pew Bibles into what used to be a church that was run by people who followed Rick Warren, people who believed in the purpose-driven church. And now that church has a new pastor. That church has a new direction. They've lost a lot of people. They've lost a lot of money, which is why they don't have the money to purchase the Bibles themselves. Somebody from that church has already donated $1,000. And if we can raise another $800 today, there's no reason why we can't raise that $800 right now. And we're going to purchase those Bibles, and Lord willing, we're going to send them to the Crosswater Church, and what a blessing that will be. So please pray about that, and if you would like to help us to do that, just go to BiblesBehindBars.com. Lori Ann's going to put the link into the chat room for the ways that you can donate. If you're not in the chat room, you can go to NowTheEndBegins.com and click on the donate button. And we very, very much appreciate your support. It's the only way we can do it. But I am quite confident that we'll be able to raise that $800, maybe even before this podcast is done. Amen. And as always, thank you very much for your prayer and financial support. All right, let's go to Israel and get an update on the Gaza war from Richard Kemp, who is embedded with the Golani Brigade. This is what he has to say about how the war between Israel and Hamas is going. Take a listen.
I'm with the Golani Brigade inside Gaza. They're fighting very hard fight against terrorists who are operating on probably one of the most deadly, lethal and challenging battlefields that any army has ever fought. Not just fighting in built-up areas, which is a very, very complex and difficult military operation and very dangerous as well, but also the tunnel system that runs underneath pretty much the whole of Gaza, which has to be dealt with as well, and with terrorists able to move and transport weapons from place to place along the tunnels, as well as positioning weaponry inside civilian houses to move in civilian clothes to go from place to place to fight and attack the IDF. The complexity is added to, of course, by the presence of civilians in the combat area, and the IDF are taking immensely careful measures to try and avoid killing any innocent civilians, and they have delineation areas where they won't carry out airstrikes and they won't carry out ground combat operations too close to the civilian areas that the civilians have been collected in. On top of that, they've got to worry about the hostages. They've got to do everything they can to make sure they try and find and rescue the hostages while at the same time not killing them inadvertently through their combat operations. I found the integration of the different capabilities on the battlefield, infantry, armor, tanks, artillery, mortars, air power, intelligence, all integrated through some very sophisticated technology. I found that to be deeply impressive. And I think the Golani Brigade are fighting a very good fight, which is going to result in the elimination of Hamas, along with the other elements of the IDF that are also fighting inside Gaza very, very courageously and very, very effectively.
So that was reporter Richard Kemp, who's embedded with the Golani Brigade as Israel continues to eradicate Hamas from Gaza. And so far, Israel has been pretty successful. And they have killed an enormous amount of Hamas soldiers and militants. And, well, I don't even want to call them soldiers. They're terrorists. Karen is asking, do I know why the U.S. battleship has left the Red Sea? No, I don't know why it's left the Red Sea, but it is absolutely a very poor time to be doing that. One of the stories that we don't have time for is the fact that the United States over the last couple of weeks has been taking on dozens and dozens of rocket and missile strikes from the Houthi rebels. And war is very, very close to breaking out there. And, you know, I don't know why that they would be removing that ship now, when now it really looks like is the time that they're going to need it. I'll be looking into that, that's for sure. Also, you've heard of Generation X and all these different generations. Well, starting today, there is a new generation. It's called Generation Alpha. And this is going to cover people who were born between 2010 and 2024. Generation Alpha is expected to be the largest living generation in human history at 2 billion people. And this is going to be a generation of people who do not know what life is like without the internet, without mobile devices, and without things that have been powered by artificial intelligence. And Generation Alpha is the very first generation that is going to have possibly the least accurate sense of human history. And they are going to be very, very much aware of what is around them and what they are surrounded with. And they are going to have a very, very poor connection to what life was like without any of these artificial, electronic, technological things that have grown to control our lives. So Generation Alpha is going to be, out of every other generation, it's going to be the technology generation. It's going to be the artificial intelligence generation. And we are waiting. We're waiting for the rapture. We're waiting for the Lord to come and get us. We are so very close to getting out of here. And look, I said at the beginning of this podcast, and let me just repeat to you what I said. I said this: in the midst of all this bleakness, there is hope and good news. The good news is that all these dystopian headlines are also a sign of just how close that we are to the pre-tribulation rapture of the church, and that is cause for great rejoicing. And we are closer. I've been saved. This is my 33rd year of salvation, of walking with the Lord. I have been saved for 33 years. Nope. Yes, 33 years. This March 14th, 2024 will be the 33rd anniversary of the day that I got saved. And we are so very close to hearing the Lord say, come up hither. We are so very close. You know what Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4? 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says this in verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Paul did what he was saved to do. If you were with us in the service last night, I gave what I hope was a very encouraging message on fighting the good fight and keeping the faith and finishing the course that God gave you. Paul says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So, when you see these crazy headlines and all this stuff that we're talking about with government-mandated injections and Travis Kelce making $20 million for a 30-second commercial while he's dating a woman who is the most successful recording artist of all time, dancing under a giant serpent, whose fans lose their memory when they attend her concerts. We are living in the last of the last days of the church age. And the Lord is faithful. You know what he says in John chapter 14? He says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now, that's what, if you're saved, that's what you're waiting for. That's what I'm waiting for. And this is why we do what we do. This is why we work as hard as we work. This is why we do all these broadcasts and podcasts and Sunday service and Bible studies. This is why we do all these outreaches and free Bible program and Bibles behind bars and preaching in the jails and preaching in the streets. Why do we do all these things? Why don't we just eat, drink, and be merry? Because we're saved. Because we've been given a job to do. Because we stand in the gap between lost people and the unquenchable fires of a place called hell. We stand in the gap between lukewarm Laodiceans who are preparing to get nothing at the judgment seat of Christ. And we're there to shake them by the collar and say, wake up! And use this time to get something done for the Lord that will make it through that fire of the judgment seat of Christ. That's why we do what we do. And I'm here to tell you that in the midst of all this chaos and end times insanity, I am not depressed. I'm not downhearted. I'm not dejected. I'm not defeated. I'm not discouraged, because I have a mandate from the King, as do each and every one of you. And we have been empowered to go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that his house may be full. And that's what we're here to do. And there is a song in my heart. There is joy. And I hope that that's what you feel too. And when you read about all these things taking place on the front lines of the end times, just remember that that's how close we are to the rapture. And with that, we've come to the end of our time for today, Lord willing. We're going to see you back here Wednesday night, 7 p.m. for the first Rightly Dividing Bible Study of 2024. It's going to be a barn burner. The title of this Bible study is Alcohol in the Life of a Christian. And You need to hear it. You really do. Have a great week, everybody. Lord willing, we'll see you Wednesday.
I hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind, and it's closer now than it's ever been. I can almost hear the trumpet. At the midnight cry, when Jesus comes again, when Jesus steps out on the cloud to call his children, I see prophecies fulfilling. The signs of the time, you know they're appearing everywhere. I can almost hear the Father. The midnight cry, when Jesus comes again, when Jesus steps out. At the midnight cry.